is a very happy song by a very happy person, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His very name means who is happy in bhakti, Bhakti Vinod. Of course, there are different kinds of happiness. We can say satisfaction is happiness, but Vinod suggests lightness of spirit, joy, isn't it like this? So he's very joyful in bhakti. And we can also become joyful in bhakti by following the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he is giving some idea in this kirtan of how he is happy in bhakti and how we can also be always joyful by performing bhakti. He first of all introduces the word Shuddha Bhakta. Shuddha Bhakta is quite clear, means pure devotee. So, what is the difference between Shuddha Bhakti and Ashuddha? Bhakti can never be Ashuddha. Bhakti, by the very meaning, means Shuddha. But there is a kind of bhakti, which is not really bhakti at all. As it's said in Bengali, Ati bhakti chore lakon. Too much devotion is the sign of a thief. If someone's coming around and being very nice to you, too nice, it seems artificial, and you may suspect, oh, they want something from you. And a lot, we'll see in America, I'm seeing this time, actually it's different to when I last came 6 years ago, it's quite some time. It seems to me that people are trying to be more polite and not so rough as previously we used to think of very brash Americans. Even if you go in the store and purchase something, and have a great day, and he doesn't care if I have a great day or not. But he's trained, that's his job as a salesman, he has to be very friendly. So all these kinds of usages have been introduced in the American way of life, because they're thinking that if you're nice to the customers, you get more customers, and then you get more money. So all these ideas, how to win friends and influence people. Who read that book? Who read it? Who has read this book? Hands up, please. Oh, that's good, not so many. Who read Bhagavad Gita as it is? Okay, that's good. That's a better book. That's how to really win friends, to get the best friend, Krishna. Anyway, there are many books like this. This was this book was the first in a series which has now come to this more sophisticated level of books like The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Who read that book? Who read it? Who read it? Kisnik Parli. Only yourself. There are so many books. There are hundreds of management books coming out every month. How to succeed in business and in life, and the 1 minute manager, the 59 second, what is it, worker or something, and then who ate my cheese or something like that. Who moved my cheese? There are so many books like this, but it's all based on how I can. How to win friends, seven habits, how to be nice to people. Just the whole idea is that actually how you can get something back from them. So this kind of bhakti, or we can say nice behavior, it's there's some idea there that I'll be nice to others and then they'll be nice to me, or I can exploit them, or I can get some more money from them, or something like that. So Shuddha Bhakti is different. Shuddha Bhakti means that we have full faith in Krishna and that we know that He'll never exploit us and that our only motto in life is to serve Him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you, Krishna, you can treat me nicely or not nicely. Even if you don't treat me nicely, still I'll serve you. So that's Shuddha Bhakti. The nearest equivalent in this material world is mother's love for the child, in which the mother looks after the child, and even the child is kicking her, passing stool on her, and even later when grows up, maybe, of course, in Indian, traditional Indian culture, children don't abuse their parents, but here they do as a matter of course. Actually, it's not a very good example in the modern age, because in modern America, you're 18, you're still at home, get out of this house, I looked after you enough, get out of here. So it's a different way of thinking and a different way of life. But traditionally, the mother is the means, why the mother is so much respected and loved in Indian culture, because the mother, not only in Indian culture, all over the world, because the mother looks after the children without any expectations. Theoretically, there should be no expectation. So that's the nearest equivalent. Although usually the mother, they're also, we see now in the modern age, because it used to be that families would be at least 5 or 6 children, if not 10 or 12. But now it's Hamdo Hamare Do, or Hamdo Hamare Ek, or Hamdo Hamare Do means one child and one dog. So, so they're having less children, so they're very anxious that my son should be work for Microsoft in Seattle and get lots of money and send it back. So it's not completely selfless. I need something back from my children. Anyway, in pure devotional service, the idea is that we simply give ourselves to Krishna. This is pure. This is purity. Purity means when we have no personal motivation. That I don't. Mostly people go to the temple or mosque or church, or at home they pray, "Dear God, I love you very much. Here's my shopping list. Give me a pay rise and a new car, and have a bad back, and the doctor's asking $2,000 just to look at it, so please cure my back," and all this kind of thing. So a pure devotional service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim kavitangva jagadisha kamaya mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhaktir ahaitukitvai." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going, he's praying to Krishna, "Jagadish, you are the controller of the universe. You can give me anything you like, but I don't want anything. Nadanam, don't give me money." Did anyone ever go to and pray like that to God? Not many. You go to all the this Balaji temple, Tirupati Balaji, very famous. Who is going and saying, "Don't give me money"? They're all going, they're putting so much money in the hundi with, at least they have the faith that if I give, I'll get more back. It's a good business deal. And even in Andhra Pradesh, so many businesses, they have a fixed... Balaji is the co-partner, right? And they vow to give 10%, 20%, or even 1% or something. Because they think, if I give to him, he'll give more back to me. And it's a fact. It works. It's a good investment. But it's not Shuddha Bhakti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "I don't want any money from you. Na dhanam, na janam. I don't want to be famous and popular. Na sundarim. I don't require a beautiful wife from you. Krishna himself is most beautiful. Kavitam va jagadisha kami. I don't want anything imaginable that is desirable for material sense enjoyment. And I don't even want mukti. Even you make me get born again and again, I simply want to serve you." So this sounds foolish, doesn't it? Imagine if, of course you can't go to see Bill Gates, but imagine if you could and say, "Bill, I just want to work for you, and you can work me as long as you like, and you don't pay me anything, and you do anything you like to me. You can throw me from the top story of your building, or you can, if you like, you can feed me, if not, not." And he won't employ you. He'll think, "This guy's crazy. I don't have anything to do with him." No one will advertise that. "We hear we have a nice job, and you come and we'll give you no facilities, no pay, nothing. We might give you a few lashes on the back every now and then. Who will take such a job? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I will, you, whatever you do to me. Of course, if we serve Krishna, then it will be very nice, because Krishna is very nice. But what we think very nice may not be the way Krishna deals with us, because Krishna wants us to fully serve Him, because that is in our own self-interest. But doing so may, not may, but means giving up all our material attachments, which is painful. It's just like pulling out teeth. It's painful. So if we're attached to so many things, we have to become detached. So it can be very, can be painful sometimes. That's why sometimes they say, you worship Lord Shiva or Devi during your life. When you're old, you worship Krishna. Don't worship Krishna when you're young. When you're young, worship Amma or Durga Devi, Ma. Then during life, you get all the things from her. And at the end of life, for mukti, you can worship Krishna like this. But the thing is that without practice, we can't do so. You can't cheat Krishna. They're just at the end, I worship you. But actually, this Shuddha Bhakti, your pure devotional service to Krishna, is very pleasing. And when I said that we have to give up material attachments, we can consider also that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a householder. He had 13 children. And you're going.
Oh, they want Hindi.
Hindi. Should I speak in Hindi? But then we have the we have at least three people here who don't understand Hindi. So kya kare?
Hindi,
yes. Ingrezi, so they don't know Telugu. They don't know Hindi either. So give them some prasad. Prasad, how do you say?
Prasadam.
Oh, no. Prasadam Tishkandi, is it? Tisko. Tishkandi, older person. Tishkandi, you should say, in Telugu. I know a smattering of most Indian languages due to traveling here and there. Make sure they get some prasad. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a good career also. At least it could be considered from the material viewpoint. He was, he reached the highest position that they would give to any, that the British government, he was in the 19th century, he was in the highest position that the government would give him, and actually he would have gone much further, but they didn't want to give Indians very high positions because they wanted to control themselves. The British themselves wanted to control. So he was, you could say, a successful career man. But his real interest was in serving Krishna. He had a family, he was a responsible man. But his real interest was in serving Krishna. So he retired early. After, even in his family life, he was very strongly performing bhakti. And then he retired early and just did bhakti for the rest of his life. So you can consider also, I'll speak more about this on Friday evening, I'll speak on family life in Krishna consciousness. But you can consider also that life in America is not so wonderful as you might have thought before you came here. Who agrees with that statement? Everyone, yeah. Before you go, you think, America, Janani Janma Bhumischa, America, Janma, America Gariyase. But when you come, you find it's not so wonderful. It's so you might consider living simply, saving money, retiring early, and going back to Punya Bhumi, or at least still a little bit Punya Bhumi, and doing bhakti on a full-time basis. That's a good idea. Anyway, we're talking about, first of all, we have to understand, what is Shuddha Bhakti? The idea of completely giving ourselves to Krishna, instead of thinking what Krishna will give to us, thinking what we can give to Krishna. John F. Kennedy's famous words. little bit transposed. You know that? John F. Kennedy said, do not think what your country can do for you, think what you can do for your country. Before he got shot by someone. Someone in his country didn't like him. So we should think, we shouldn't think what God can do for me, but what we can do for God. We cannot do anything for him because he's doing everything. But still, because he's a person, he likes that we shall serve him with love. So we can offer him our love. Krishna says, Patrang Pushpang Palang Toyang Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadahang Bhaktyu Paharitam Ashnami Prayatatmana. Krishna says, if you offer me with bhakti, priti, leaf, flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Because what can we offer to someone who's got everything? Someone who's got everything, mostly the people in this world who have got everything, lots of money, there's one thing they don't have, which is love. Money can't buy you love. So, of course, Krishna has love. He is the reservoir of all love. And he has so many loving devotees. But he's greedy for more love. He wants everyone's love. And to love him is the meaning of life. So this is Shuddha Bhakti. To simply love Krishna without any expectation of return. Of course, to come to that level it's not so easy, because we're used to thinking, what's in it for me? What will I get out of it? Whenever we do anything, we're always thinking of our own benefit. Every single thing we do, isn't it? If you go to drink a glass of water, or if you look for a new job, mostly everyone there in the career field, they're always thinking, shall I stay in this job or if there's any opportunity? Shift jobs, isn't it? What's the next step? Always ready to change their job, their location, and always say, what's in it for me? So, actually in bhakti, everything's in it for us, because the perfection of life, all happiness, all bliss, all satisfaction, and is there, and stoppage of all unwanted things. Birth and death, disease, old age, all good fortune is there by performing pure devotional service to Krishna. So actually we get, it's actually in our self-interest, in our best self-interest, to perform this Shuddha Bhakti to Krishna. But we're used to thinking in terms of what's good for me, in terms of what's good for my body, or my mind, or my bank balance. Like this, or my reputation. What will people think of me? A lot of the things we do are governed by what will others think of me. So much of what we do. What will people think if I chant Hare Krishna? Have to consider carefully. What will people think if I become a vegetarian? Those were none. We're very concerned what others think. But best is to think what Krishna will think of us. What Krishna wants us to do. This is Shuddha Bhakti. So it's difficult, because we're accustomed in another way, to think of how to do everything simply for Krishna's pleasure. Because our mind is always thinking, what's good for me? What's good for me? We don't know what's good for us. What's good for me actually is to serve Krishna. That is in our own best self-interest. So it is, what is favorable for advancing in Krishna consciousness is to associate with those who are Shuddha Bhaktas or pure devotees. Here it says Shuddha Bhakta Charana Renu. Now this concept is completely outside the American way of life. The dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees. Now of course this is still part of Indian culture. Amazingly, even in Delhi, you'll find it's very common with the Punjabis especially. They like to touch the feet of their parents or superiors. And in Punjab, I don't see there's that much culture event, but this is going on. That they'll even in the most materialistic city, of course, it's a competition. Is it Delhi or is it Bombay? Or Is it Bangalore? What's the most materialist city in India?
Bombay.
Think Bombay? Anyway, you're not from Bombay, obviously. But anyway, because Bollywood is there, probably. But anyway, it's a toss-up. It's a close call. Calcutta is also trying to catch up. And Bangalore, very materialistic, but still they have that traditional side also. Anyway, touching the feet of superiors. I don't think you'll see this in Americans doing this. No way. They're more likely to beat you on the head with shoes. So this is actually very good. This traditional culture, all aspects of traditional Indian culture are actually very good. Everything, the way you dress, the way we speak, the way we deal with people, the food we eat, the whole way of life. Rise early in the morning, go to the temple, or at least at home to jap, puja, pat, all these things. These things, this is actual human civilization. So this one point of taking the in Vaishnav culture, especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Vaishnav culture, that we should take the dust from pure devotees' feet and we should put on our head or on our tongue, because that is considered very efficacious for making advancement in Krishna consciousness. And even we'll see in the Bengali kirtan, people will roll on the ground where they're performing, their whole body, because they think, oh, the devotees are dancing here, so we should roll on the ground and the whole dust from their purified feet will cover our bodies. So this is an expression of great humility, which is the cornerstone of bhakti. There's no bhakti without humility. If we're thinking, I am very great, then we cannot do bhakti. Bhakti means to recognize that even if I have a very successful career, even if I have lots of money, even if I'm famous, I'm simply the very small servant of Krishna. Krishna is very great. None of us are very great. We're very small. We're on a tiny little planet in a vast universe. We're just living for a very short period in time. Who is great? In Seattle, Bill Gates is great. And the Boeing is also there. Who's the head of Boeing? Bill Gates is famous. The head of Boeing Corporation, isn't he? Anyone know who it is? Somehow Bill made himself famous, as well as rich. So he's great, considered great. He's considered great in India, right? When he goes to India, he's considered, wow, thousands of people come to... He came how many times? Two times to India? Something like that. It's a big event. Whenever Bill goes to India, people think, wow, he's great. They come to see him. So he's considered great, but for how long? Just a blip in time. We're all here. A few days and gone. And being rich, what is that? Traditionally, in Indian culture, who is considered greatest? There's a story in this regard that one man was in the village. He was a domestic servant doing the... In America, they call gopher. You do this, do that, in the house of the local village headman. Then one day he saw that one man came to the village and the headman, zamindar you would call in the old times, he was the landlord of the village, or like the king of the village. One man came and from outside, and the zamindar was offering all respect to him. And very respectful, he thought, oh, this man, I thought that my boss was the greatest, but he's offering all respect to him, he must be greater. So he said to that man, I'd like to go with you and serve you, because if I have to serve, I might as well serve the top man. So he went with him on tour, going with all his retinue, going village. He joined his retinue, going village to village, collecting taxes. Then eventually, they after some days, they came to the big city, the capital. And he followed as a faithful servant. He followed the tax collector, and he went up to the palace of the king and very respectfully submitted, "Yes, I've collected the taxes," and this like this. Then he saw, oh, someone bigger than him. So he offered himself to the king, said, "Anyway, I'm serving, so I'd like to serve the top man, so let me serve you." He said, "Okay." He was serving the king. After some days, he went with the, accompanied the king into the forest. And they came to a little clearing in the forest with a small hut. There was a sadhu there, just wearing a kopin. The king bowed down to him. And then there was some discussion. And then the king went away and called, "Hey, come with me." He said, "No, I'm staying here. He's bigger than you." And he told to the sadhu that, "Oh, you seem to be the... Even the king is bowing down to you." He said, "And I'm bowing down to Krishna. He is the greatest." So, who is the greatest? Krishna. And in this world, the devotee is the greatest. Traditionally, in Indian culture, they respected who is the most respected. Not the person with the most money, but the person who voluntarily had vairagya. He left everything simply to serve Krishna. Simply to be poverty-stricken is not spiritual, but those who voluntarily accept a life of dedicating everything to find out where is God. Krishna anusandhan, searching out Krishna. Atato brahma jignyasa. Human life is meant for asking this question. King tad brahma. What is the absolute truth? So who dedicates their life to this search for the highest truth, they are considered great. Not who has got money, not who has got power, but one in this world. In Indian culture, the topmost person is considered who has no attraction for these things, but is simply looking, where is Krishna? And who has found him? Even better. Of course, who has found him will never say, "I found him." Because he is, who has found him always, this is a specialty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Looking for Krishna and never finding. And in not finding, finding. Because by always having this feeling, I must find Krishna, by that feeling, we're always close to Krishna. Whereas if we think, "Oh, I found Krishna, okay, put him in a box and forget it. I know Krishna." But who can know Krishna? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us that the best way to worship Krishna, this is of course his very highest level, the best way to worship Krishna is following in the footsteps of the gopikas of Vrindavan, who are always hankering for Krishna. So that is our ideal. We cannot imitate the gopikas, but our ideal is to have their full dedication to Krishna. Sometimes that's misunderstood. The gopis, Krishna dancing with the gopis, something wrong there. But actually this idea that there's something wrong with Krishna and the gopis, that only came after the British came to India. Otherwise, no one criticized. Because previously, everyone understood that this is fully spiritual. There's no mundane calm. But this is simply the gopis are offering themselves to Krishna. There's no question in Krishna's mind of any mundane lust, just like we may see some picture of a beautiful young model or something like this, and that's meant to inspire the mundane lust in the advertisements. But for Krishna, there's no question of any such thing, Because by chanting his names, we become free from mundane lust. So how can Krishna be lusty? There's a narration in Srimad Bhagavatam how the incarnation of Krishna, Nara Narayan Rishi, was doing tapasya at Badrik Ashram. And we find so many times, I just said the name Narayana and Chirayu. So, generally we find throughout Shastra that whenever any Rishi is doing severe tapasya, that Indradev will send some apsaras, some dancing girls. So then, because he's afraid that if the Rishi becomes very powerful, then he'll become Indra, and then I'll just become, you know, I'll have to go and be a Rishi again. Because Indra becomes Indra by being a Rishi. And then he becomes, many of the Rishis, they're doing tapasya, not for adhyatmik vikas, but for bhogavilas. They want to get sense enjoyment. Not for spiritual development, but for sense enjoyment. So whenever Indra sees someone is doing some tapasya, he sends some apsaras that do a little dancing, and he'll say, "Oh, I'd like to dance with you." Okay, come on. And then everything finished. All his tapasya finished. So he saw Nara Narayan Rishi, and he didn't understand. This is actually Vishnu, Bhagavan, Narayana directly, come to show the path of tapasya for adhyatmik vikas, not for bhogavilas. So he didn't understand this, Indra. He's got in anxiety. So the apsaras, they were dancing, and Kamadev himself, Cupid, as is known in, I think that's a Greek term, the god of mundane love, he came and he fired his pushpaban, flower arrows, five kinds of arrows. And Narayan Rishi was looking and watching. "Hello, how are you, Kamadev?" Not exactly like, but he was not concerned. And then, "Oh, you're sending beautiful dancing girls?" And he manifested from his own, because he's the source of everything, he manifested from his body more beautiful girls, more beautiful than Indra had sent. He said, "You like beautiful girls? You can choose anyone. You take one of them. But you can't disturb me." So Krishna, he cannot be disturbed. He's not attracted by mundane beauty. And any sane person shouldn't be. Because what is this? Shankaracharya said, "Mangsa." What is this beauty of the body? Mangsa vikara. It's simply flesh, transformation of flesh. In English they're saying beauty is skin deep. So if you see any nice, good looking young man or woman, here's a young man, not like me with all, getting all wrinkles on the face. So very nice, can send some photo, very nice, good looking young man. But if we send the same photo minus the skin, will it look very nice? You'll see all blood, and it won't look very nice. It'll look horrible, actually. If we see some body minus the skin, we want to vomit, isn't it? But it looks very beautiful. So any sane person knows that beauty is skin deep, and certainly Krishna, who is the He has made everything. Everything comes from him. He is not attracted by mundane beauty. But he's attracted by the gopis, which means that they're fully spiritual. He's attracted by their love, genuine love, shuddha bhakti. So all these things should be understood. And what is favorable for devotional service is to associate with pure devotees in all humility. And actually, it's supposed, physically we're supposed to touch the feet and all this kind of thing. So I think here in Seattle you're regularly inviting different sannyasis and preachers, isn't it, to come here. So please take advantage when they come, because Bhakata Shiva Parama Siddhi Premalati Karamula, to serve pure devotees is in itself the topmost perfection. What is the perfection of life? To serve Krishna. Is that right? Well, Krishna disagrees with that. Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Vadika. To serve my devotees is more important than serving me. We find in Padma Purana, Devi, Durga Devi, was asking her husband, Lord Shiva, that I see so many kinds of puja. You see, there's Durga Puja, Saraswati Puja, Ganesh Puja, and people, even Vishwakarma Puja, Satyanarayan Puja, so many, Kali Puja, Lakshmi Puja, so many kinds of puja. So which is the best? Which is the topmost? And Lord Shiva said, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Out of all the different kinds of Aradhana, which is a more complete term than puja. I mean, Aradhana means all around worship, all kinds of service. The best is that of Vishnu. But Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Even more, means actually worship of Vishnu is topmost, because he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Atav parataram nanyat kinchid asti. He says, no one is equal to me or greater than me in Bhagavad Gita. And this is confirmed in all the Vedic literatures. Yang Brahma, Varanendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stunvanti, Devyai, Stavai. All the great devas, Rudra, Brahma, the Maruts, Indra, they're all praising Krishna only. So, actually that's true, Krishna is topmost, but he himself, who is the topmost, says, better you worship my devotees. So Lord Shiva says, even more than worshipping Krishna is worshipping his devotees. Prabhupada gave the example, serve me, serve my dog. In the Western countries, the best friend is the dog. Smelly dogs. You go in someone's house and the whole house stinks because of their smelly dog. But you can't say that, because if you say your dog stinks, they'll throw you out of the house. If you say you stink, they might accept it. But if you say your dog stinks, they'll be more upset, because man's best friend. The dog licks your plate after you eat off it, then you wash it and use it again. Dog's licking you, thinking, tastes pretty good. So, man's best friend. That example is there, that if you pat someone's dog on their head, they'll like you. Because, he likes my dog. So it's an example that we should become, if we become the dog, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another song, has sung that, what is it? Tomar kuka baliya jana hamor. That I want to be known as your dog, he's saying to Krishna. Or we can become the dog of the Vaishnava. The idea is that we'll become the very humble and faithful servant. We can learn even from the dog. Dog, we can learn how to be faithful to the master. There are certain things we can learn from the dog. How to be alert immediately after waking up. Not that you roll over in bed, push the alarm bell down and say, well, just another 10 minutes. And then it goes off after 10 minutes. And the dog immediately is alert. So that's a good quality. See, so we can learn from the dog This system, Krishna, he likes, we will worship his devotee. Then Krishna will accept us to worship him. So that is the, that in itself is the topmost perfection, to serve devotees. And it is the root of the tree of bhakti. Now you're having these bhakti vriksh program. Tree of devotion. So, actually bhakti is compared to lata, creeper. Because the lata, that has to grow up with support. So if we think I'm strong by myself, I don't need anyone's help, then we cannot do bhakti. Bhakti means we have to take support from the Vaishnavas. Then we can go up. Otherwise, if we do bhakti without taking support from the Vaishnavas, it's like the lata, it grows along the ground. But lata is meant to grow up. It won't grow nicely and properly unless it has some support to grow up. It needs to go up. So we need to go up, but we need support to do so. So the root of this bhakti lata is service to Vaishnavas, pure Vaishnavas. So next in the song, Madhava Tithi, the day of Madhava, means Ekadashi. There are so many different days people are worshipping Hanuman, Shiva, Ganesh. But Krishna's day is Ekadashi. And traditionally the ladies in India, they used to fast on different days like this. So we're suggesting, not only for ladies but for men also, to fast on Ekadashi. At least don't take grains. Actually we should only take Krishna Prasad every day. But especially if we follow Ekadashi Vrata, which comes tomorrow actually, then that is very pleasing to Krishna. Because Krishna is a person. So everyone has their favorite something. I don't know if you read these silly magazines. They have, like in India, they have Cine Blitz and all these foolish magazines. So, and in America, I presume they have these sports magazines. So they show someone, some famous personality in the movies. Or the sports star. What is their favorite song? What is their favorite food? What is their favorite drink? And all their favorite everything. So Krishna, he is the topmost star. Better than any, what's the name of that? Michael Jordan, right? Famous basketball player. Okay, I learned something about American culture. So probably all his fans know what his favorite food is, what his favorite song is. They know all these things. Similar in India, we have the famous... Who's the famous film stars in India these days? Anyone know? You're all out of touch. And all you Tamil people, you don't watch the Hindi movies anyway. Still going on. Konbanega Kropati. That's the last I heard of him. He's back in the movies again, is it?
Yeah, he's back.
Okay. So everyone knows. What's his favorite food?
He's a vegetarian.
He's a vegetarian, really? That's good. Always been?
Yeah.
He's really?
They did a vote, they found him to be the most famous vegetarian person
in the world. He's one of the most famous people in the world, even non-vegetarian. Because at least 1 billion people know his name, right? Anyway, what his wife's name is, I know that too. Jaya, right? And where's he from? He's from Calcutta? Is it? Oh, I got it wrong. I thought he was working in Calcutta or something?
Yeah, he was working.
I see. But originally from Allahabad. Okay. So people know these things because he's a famous and great person. He has his favorite person, I suppose, is his wife. So all this kind of thing. So Krishna, he's also a person. So we should know, what is his, who's his favorite devotee? Srimati Radharani. And What's his favorite food? Well, he has lots. He likes lots of different things. What? Makan. He's known as Makan Cho.
Loni.
Loni.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I never heard
raw,
that.
Raw butter.
Freshly made.
Freshly made. Which language is that?
Brijbash.
Okay, I learned something today. Loni. Loni, yeah. That's butter here means you take from. It's with salt and it's got yellow coloring and it comes from the fridge. It's completely different. But that makan misri that Krishna likes. Freshly made. Who makes that in America? Anyone? Even in India, though, you hardly see anyone now. So, Krishna, that's his favorite food. He likes many things. It's so many. Krishna is a good eater, has a good appetite. Because he's working, he's a young boy and he's out in the fields all day. So he has, Krishna likes so many different kinds of food. What's his favorite drink? Coca-Cola?
Milk.
Chas? No, milk. Should be milk, I think. So, what's his favorite day? Ekadashi. Ekadashi is very dear to Krishna. So we should observe this. Mostly people, they used to fast on Ekadashi because in the Shastra it said that if you eat grains, if you eat anna, means anna includes all kinds of anas. So that means atta, this gahanki atta, or this rice, any kind of rice, idli. Those who are from South India, they eat idli on Ekadashi, but you shouldn't eat that either. All this kind of thing.
Maybe the cream of wheat, they use some of them, they use the cream of wheat considered
as that farina. Yeah, but that's also, we should avoid all this. Because it said that on Ekadashi day, if we eat any grain, then there is a papa purusha. The personality of pap enters that. And you get all the sins all at once by eating on Ekadashi. So that's one good reason for not taking grains on Ekadashi. But more important is that we have the opportunity to satisfy Krishna. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and he enjoys even more on Ekadashi. So we should try to increase his enjoyment by our service. So therefore we don't take... Madhava Titi, the day of Madhava. Bhakti Janani, that is the mother of devotion. So if you can't follow anything else, just observe Ekadashi. Only do this. And then everything will come. All bhakti will come in due course of time, just by observing Ekadashi. Because Ekadashi is the mother of devotion. Therefore, Jotone Palana Kari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I observe very carefully. Don't eat grains on Ekadashi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once came and touched his mother's feet and said, I want one thing from you. Don't eat grain on Ekadashi. Said, okay. Then Krishna Boshati Bali Parama Adore Bari. What is the best place to live? America? Everything's great in America? Even in America, I think if Microsoft wasn't here, you'd prefer to probably to live in Southern California where the climate's better than here. Everything's there. Southern California or Hawaii means there's money, there's freedom, the land of the free, good climate. What's the best place to live? Where Krishna lives?
Vrindavan.
Mayapur, Puri, Sri Rangam, Tirumala, all these places of Krishna. Nathdwara, that's also a place of Krishna. So many holy places are there of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is the best place to live. So if by fate or choice we are living in Seattle, at least we should worship Krishna in our home, then he'll come there. We should live with Krishna. Krishna Boshati Bali Parama Adore Bali. Then Gora Mara Jeshabashthana Karala Brahmana Ronge. All the places that my Gaur, he says, my Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he traveled to all these places in great delight. All the we find that all the Krishna when he comes, Ram, Chandra Bhagavan, Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the incarnations, they travel very widely to give people the different in different places the opportunity to see them and hear from them, and in this way they pure. Why Bharat Bhumi is considered pure? Because so the avatars and so many sadhus, so many holy rivers, so they purify the place. And any place where Krishna went, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, or where the deity is installed, that is a sacred place. You find there are so many sacred places all over India. Nasik, we find it's if we look and see, it looks as even Mathura looks like an ordinary town with businesses and this and that. But of course, Mathura, that is the eternal dham, Janmastan, is that. But Nasik, why fame? Because Ram was there. So it's considered a holy place also. We don't see anything very holy there, but it's because Ram was there. It's a holy place. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he traveled to so many places. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sheshavasthana Herebo Ami Pranayi Bhakata Shambhu. I desire to visit all those places in the association of loving devotees. Because if we go to any place without devotees, then we won't realize, we won't appreciate. Just like there was one Britisher wrote one book, a survey of Mathura district by O.P. Grouse or something his name was. So he pointed out the temples are here and this and that, but he didn't have the eyes to find Krishna. Even though Krishna is always in his dham, Vrindavanam parityajya napadam ekam gacchati. Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan ever. So he's always there. But if we don't have the eyes to see, we'll see Mathura, another busy, noisy, crowded, hot Indian city with a big oil refinery and a cantonment, and this we will see. We won't see Krishna. We have to... Devotees can help us to find Krishna. We won't see Krishna unless devotees, they show us the way. So now it's become... Now this tourism industry is developing in India. And you'll find in Dwaraka, you'll find buses. So many buses come, especially from Bengal and Tamil Nadu, from all over India, but especially from Bengal. It's a long way. But they always like to go to Dwaraka. In Bengali, they say Dwaraka. Dwaraka. So they're visiting, and they'll jump out, and they'll go to the Dwarakadish temple, take photos, and they go to Rukmini temple, take photos, and they go to Bet Dwaraka, take photos, crossing in the boat. You have to cross by boat across the sea a little bit to go to Bet Dwaraka, and they'll show, and then they'll come back and show, you see, I visited all these places, but we can't find Krishna like that. Not as tourists. Of course, it's good to visit holy places, but real visiting means to find Krishna, to hear about Krishna. Yasya atma buddhi kuna petri dahatuke swadhi kalatradishu bhoma idjadi yatirta buddhi salile nakarhijij janeshvabigeshu sa eva gokara. Krishna says that anyone who thinks that this body, which is made out of kaf pitta vayu, or in modern physiology or anatomy, blood, bones, mucus, bile, air, gas, muscles, kidney, glands, bones, all these things. If anyone thinks, this is me. Or if he thinks that the land I am born in is worshipable, janmani janma bhumischa swargameva gurus. Or anyone who thinks that I went to a holy place, I took a bath. I went. Finished. But they don't hear from sadhus who are there. Of course, in many of the holy places, you won't find sadhus. You'll find people very expert at talking all the money out of your pocket. And then someone was telling me they went to Gaya for doing the Shraddh. So the priest said, you just imagine how much you would like to give. Just imagine, if you could give any amount for the benefit of your fathers, how much you'd like to give, how much, like $20 billion or whatever. So I said, yeah, I'd like to give $20 billion. And he said, okay. All right, so that means you should give at least 20,000 rupees, because it's nothing compared to what you'd like to give. And then the bargaining begins. And you don't get away with it. Minimum 5,000 you have to give. And this kind of thing is good. So it's difficult to find sadhus. But actually, going to the holy places, we should find sadhus who should explain everything. So Krishna says, if you go to all these holy places, we don't hear from sadhus about what is the meaning of Tirtha Yatra. Tirtha Yatra means we should go to the holy place and we may have to come back, but we should leave our soul there, or rather bring the bhakti. That mood should enter our heart. We should come back with increased bhakti. But if we simply go and take a few photos, then there's no meaning. So Krishna says, anyone with this attitude, they're no more intelligent than a cow or a donkey. Or like a donkey among cows. That's me. Foolish. So this visiting holy place is very important. But we should go with devotees who can explain how we can understand Krishna. Mridanga Bhadda, the sound of Mridanga. This is the Lord, he likes. Krishna likes the sound of Mridanga. We find in Bhagavatam, gopis, they're also playing Mridanga. And in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, they're also playing. Now they introduce this bongo drum in the kirtan. So it gives a loud sound, but it's not sweet. Shankha Bhaje, Ganta Bhaje, Madhur, Madhur, Madhur. What is the other line? Shankha Bhaje, Ganta Bhaje, Bhaje Karata. Madhura Mridanga Bhaje, Paramarasa. So this is very sweet. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very pleased to hear this sound, but we don't hear the sound of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like bongo drums. So it's loud, but it's not sweet. So kirtan should be sweet for the pleasure of the Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that my mind always desires to hear the sound of this mridanga, because that is essential for kirtan. And what kind of kirtan? Gaura bihita kirtana shuni. That kirtan which is approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this bhakti up to the highest level. Ramya kachit vrajabadhu vargena ya kalpita, that which is conceived of by the gopis of Vrindavan. So the kirtan he has taught us, and especially he has taught us, so many kirtans are there in the Gauriya Vaishnav Padavali, and of course there are so many in other traditions also, other Vaishnav traditions. But most important is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Is most important. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I hear this Mridanga and Kirtan, then my heart dances in joy. Jugala Murti, when Dekhiyamo, when I see the deity of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Parama Ananda Hoy. This is the highest happiness. Let's see here. Prabhupada installed the deities of Radha and Krishna all over the world just so that everyone can rediscover what is actual happiness. Seeing the form of the Lord. Actually, we should come before Him not thinking so much, I will see, but I shall present myself as a humble servant. Krishna, please see me and engage me in your service. And Krishna consciousness is very nice, because when we take darshan, when we have darshan of the Lord, then always there's some prasad. You should give some prasad. Your natwar is very famous for that. Nathdwara and Puri. These two places are very famous for prasad. So, Krishna consciousness is very nice. We're not required to do very severe tapasya, but we can become spiritually advanced just by taking prasad. So that's a very nice religion, isn't it? Everyone has to eat, but by taking that which is offered to Krishna, automatically we become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Prasada Shiva Karite Hoy Shakala Prapancha Joy. Simply by taking prasad, we can become free from, or we can conquer over, material contamination. Prasad Seva. We have to remember that prasad is Krishna. We have to serve. We don't think, now I have to enjoy. Of course, it's enjoyable, but we should always be very respectful. This is Krishna prasad. Therefore, we shouldn't throw, we shouldn't think, even ordinary food, we should never throw away. That's a modern car. The people, they drive into McDonald's, eat a bit, throw it away. Like this, but this is, no, we should never throw away. That's also sinful. What to speak of prasadam? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that all these activities I'm doing in my home, and I see my home is transformed to Golok Vrindavan. The spiritual world manifests in our home if we worship Krishna. And when I take the Charanamrita offered to Krishna, or the Charanamrita, the water that bathes his body, I see this is Ganga. Because Ganga means the water from the feet of Vishnu. When Vamandev was stretching his lotus foot up to cover the universe, he came past Brahma Loka, Lord Brahma sitting on his Kamalasana. So, oh, a guest has come. It's Lord Vishnu. So when a guest comes, you should wash his feet. Especially if Lord Vishnu comes. So he poured some water from his Kamandalu, and this fell down as the Ganga. And then his foot went up further through the whole universe and went through to the Karnadak, this water covering the universe, and that also leaked through the universe over Lord Vamandev's lotus foot. This also is one of the beginnings of the Ganga, two of the beginnings of the Ganga like this. So the same thing when we bathe the deity that comes over his head, over his lotus body, over his lotus feet. So that's Ganga. Charana Shitu Dekhiya Ganga Shuka Nashimapai. Then my happiness, I don't find the limit of my happiness. Tulashi Deki is another, here's another secret. Sometimes people are saying, well, what's the secret? We're always trying to find some easy way. You know, do I have to chant Hare Krishna and all these things? And we're always trying to find some easy way. So actually we have to chant Hare Krishna to become Krishna conscious, but there are some little secrets also, just like following Kadashi. Here's another one, serving Tulsi. If we serve Tulsi, then we'll get bhakti. So Tulasi Deki Jurai Pra. I become very satisfied to see Tulsi, because when I see Tulsi, I know Madhava Toshani Jani. I know that Madhav, Krishna is very satisfied by Tulsi, so I become satisfied by seeing Tulsi. Again, he used the name Madhav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, there are so many names for Krishna, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his worshipable deities were Radha Madhava. Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Gopijana Vallabha Girivaratar, Yashoda Nandana, Vrajajana Ranjana, Yamuna Tiravanacha. In so many songs, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has petitioned the Lord as Gopinath, but in so many songs he mentions Radha Madhava. Ami Shwananda Shukada Bashi Radhika Madhava Charanadasi. He says, I'm a resident of Shwananda Sukada Kunja and a Dasi, seeing himself as Gopika, female maidservant of Radhika Madhava. So, Gora Priya Shaka Shevana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's favorite food, as you're saying, is makan misri. When he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his favorite food is shak, which is a little bitter. There are so many varieties of shak in Bengal. In other parts of India, they don't have so many. They don't know what is shak. But in Bengal, at least 24 varieties of this different kind of leaves. So that's very dear. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes that very much. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when I honor this prasad offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, shak, then I feel my life is successful. I'm a success. Why? Because I came to Seattle, I got a great job, earned a lot of money. No, because I took the shak, which is very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can tell all your friends back in India, no need to come here. You can be a success. Just take the prasad offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Much more successful than coming to Seattle. Instead of being Bill Gates Das, be Krishna Das. Better. He's not said, I mean, I'm nothing against him. He gave a donation once to the devotees, at least once. $1,000. So I'm told. You heard that story? Steve Jobs, you all heard? Is anyone allowed to say the name of Steve Jobs in Seattle? He's Mac, he's Mr. Mac. Not McDonald's, Mac, Apple. So he started off as a teenager in his garage, fiddling around, and then he bought out these Apple computers. But in the beginning, he had no money. He used to come to our temple, I think San Francisco's, and take prasad regularly. So later, many years later, devotees stopped him at the airport. Have you ever been stopped at the airport by our devotees selling books? Who's been stopped at the airport selling books? I was the other day. Yeah. So they said, oh, this is a Hare Krishna book? Okay, yeah, check, $1,000. And he said, you go and see my friend Bill also. And he wrote him a note. I gave a donation, you should give a donation. So the devotees did, and he did also. I mean, they didn't get to see Bill personally, but went through the secretary and it came back. And so... Anyway, Bhaktivinod Krishna Bhajani Anukul Paijaha. Bhaktivinod, whose life is joyful in devotion to Krishna. He says that everything I find that is favorable to Krishna's service, so many things, taking shak, taking prasadam, worshipping the deity, taking charanamrita, chanting the names of Krishna, all these things, pratiti varshe paramashukhe, every day in great happiness, shikara karyata, I perform these activities every day. So every day we should chant the holy names of the Lord, take prasad. On Ekadashi, we should observe that. All these activities, serve Tulsi, and our life will become very happy in the spiritual happiness of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. That's the explanation of this song. If you have any questions, you can ask them now. That's the primary reason. But for Vaishnavas, the primary reason for doing everything is to satisfy Krishna. So we find all these things in Vedic culture. It helps us spiritually, mentally, and physically. All these things. Even one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed the leela of getting sick. He was on yatra, going to Gaya to perform the shraddh for his father. So he became very sick, and they brought all the doctors, and he said, you bring me the water which has washed the feet of brahmanas. He drank that and he became healthy. So that said, Ashesha klesha nishesha karanam shuddha bhaktidam Vishnu pada utakang pitva shirasa dharya hamiham. That all troubles are removed, and we get Vishnu Bhakti by drinking the Charanamrit, Vishnu Charanamrit, and placing on our head. And there's similarly, Akala Mrityu Haranam Sava Vyadhi Vinashanam. Same thing is said about Charanamrit. That by drinking this, that untimely death, which may be there, and it may be in our chart, untimely death. Or if we perform some very sinful activity, that may come, but that effect will be removed and all diseases will be destroyed by taking Vishnu Charanamrit. So there are other, everything. We should rest early and rise early. So rising early before Brahma Muhurta, that's very good for health and it's best for spiritual life. The main reason is for spiritual life, because at Brahma Muhurta, that time should be for spiritual activities. But even it's very good for health. Even in English they say early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. So everything in Vedic culture is very good. Even you see how we should dress. I was telling one young Indian lady earlier today that better she dress in sari than jeans. So you may say, well, that's very, you know, jeans is very practical and this and that, but there's a reason. There are many reasons for dressing in sari. One important reason is that for ladies, main important quality is this lajja. In modern American life, it's just the opposite. As much as they're besharam or near lajja, they're considered very good. They're rock bands with the women singing and all. In India, they're advertising. They want to make some girls rock band. Yeah. So, but this quality of lajja, that's the most important. So that keeps, this is a very big topic and controversial also, because many people don't want to accept this, but it actually keeps society very peaceful. Because if men and women mix up so much and the women are very pushing themselves forward, then that causes disturbance, and then there's men mix with women, and then there's the divorce and marriage gets disturbed and all these things. So that's why so wearing a sari, it's all part of the Stri Dharma. It's very important. We find that Arjun, why he refused to fight? Because he was afraid. Strishu Dushtarshu Varshtaya Jayate Varna Sankaraha. If the women and if all the men are killed, the women won't be protected, and then they'll become corrupted because people will take advantage. And then Varna Sankara, the unwanted children will come and the whole society will be spoiled. So we can say in America now there's so much, the children are, they're afraid of Arab terrorists, but the children themselves are terrorists, right?
Yes, at home even.
At home with their own parents, and in the school they have to search them going to school for weapons and drugs. Why? Because all Varna Sankara, there's no Sanskriti. So all these things are important. We think, wear jeans. Everyone's doing it. You see, there's a whole philosophy and culture behind that original Indian culture. There's everything is meant for the uplift of the human society and of the individual and the whole society. And in a modern way of life, everything they don't know, but it's all dragging you down to hell. Everything. So please consider all these things. Women and men also, at least. When you come to this kind of satsang, of course many of you may be coming directly from work, but it's also nice you can wear dhoti, put on tilak. Previously, if you didn't have tilak, that means you're chandal. Because everyone has to be dikshit, isn't it? Everyone has to have a guru. And then when you get guru, you have some tilak. Whether it's Vaishnava or Shaiva or Ganapatya or Saurya or whatever, everyone should have. Ladies, actually, traditionally, they didn't have, because they had Bindi and Shindhu. But in Gauriya Vaishnava, they also were. So who doesn't have tilak, that means they're adikshit. They're not fit to follow any human culture. It means subhuman, actually. So at least when you come to the satsang, if you're bold enough, you can wear to work also. If you do your job, they won't mind. These things are important.
Can you use water if you want?
You can do. It's better to show. You can have water. You can also, with mantra, you can put water. But the real thing, it should be with Gopi Chandan. That's best. Or otherwise, you Radha Kunda Mritika is also there. Or you can use Tulsi Mritika, all these different things. But Gopi Chandan is best.
Makan Mithi.
I never heard that one.
The Gunda got it from Bridge, Vrindavan. They like Krishna used to eat that Mithi, and they call Makan Mithi.
Is it? I'm not aware of that.
I think Krishna ate when Mother Yashoda.
Oh, from that place.
Nidhivan.
There's Nidhuvan also. But mostly we wear this Gopi Chandan. That's most important for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Okay, shall we finish here? Chant a little bit more, Kirtan?
Sure.
Then you can all.